May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There was a verse that I read sometime in the last few weeks. Real familiar one, but it just has ministered to me a lot lately, just the emphasis. And this is the angel speaking to Joseph and explaining to him what was happening to his betrothed. And the angel said, "And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he himself who will save his people from their sins." Again, it's important, I think, that when we talk about Christ saving us from our sins, we don't just think in terms of the eternal consequences of sin. Because that's not the only saving work of Christ that we need as fallen people. We certainly need the reality of being saved from sin's penalty, knowing that we're going to spend an eternity forgiven in the presence of the Lord. But between here and there, our dilemma isn't sin's penalty, it's sin's power that controls us, the calls us to live in the power and energy of the flesh, the fallen false self. That's what we were talking about last night at our Keswick night, that this place in Romans chapter 5, instead of me trying to quote it from memory, I'll just read it to you. It says, "If while we were enemies, when we were lost, before we were Christians, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So it talks about the dual saving work of Christ in terms of our sins. We were saved from the wrath of God by the death of his Son, but we're saved by the life of Christ from the power of sin between now and then. So I love that verse that I read to you from Matthew, that he himself, like the emphasis there is, he himself will save his people from their sins. And our need is on two levels. Again, like I said, there's an eternal need, but there's a present tense now need. So that we don't live controlled by our moods, by our temperaments, by the lusts of our flesh, by the behavior of other people, or by the circumstances around us. We talked about last night the fact that there's a plumb line that gives us, describes to us what the life of Christ saving us from ourselves is like, what the life of Christ looks like in character. And it becomes a plumb line that measures by which are we living normal Christian lives or not. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit isn't determined, isn't governed by circumstances, isn't governed by the behavior of other people around us, shifting things in a fallen world, and isn't governed by the power of sin that's in us, the flesh, by our moods and our own temperaments. Victorious Christian living has got to transcend all that. Doesn't mean that there aren't battles to fight. The land of Canaan represents life in the Spirit. When they entered into the land of Canaan, they didn't have to stop fighting battles. They began to win battles. There's a difference. And so life in the Spirit, victorious Christian living, isn't some thing where there aren't battles to fight. It just means that supernaturally, you're now winning battles because you're living by the very life of Christ himself. When I thought about that, I thought about Colossians. It's a really clear verse. Colossians 2, verse 6. "Just as you've received Christ as Lord, so walk in him." So the question that I ask myself and I ask people sometimes, how did you receive Christ? When did you begin? What was the beginning of your Christian life? Did you trust in some formula? Was it trusting in some decree? Some proclamation that you made? What were you trusting in? He says, just as you received him. You began your Christian life by receiving a person, by putting your faith and trust in a person, by encountering a person. And the way the Christian life is lived is by continually experiencing and appropriating a person. It's not a formula. It's not some how-to. You've heard me say this a lot of times, CTKers. Christianity is a who-to. This is a hymn book, H-I-M book. It's all about a personal relationship and encounter with him. And he himself will save us from our sins. So let's not think in terms of the eternal consequences of sin. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, then you've been reconciled to God eternally by the death of his son. But it's the risen Christ and indwelling Christ that he himself now, as a person, saves us from the power of sin. Holiness is a person, not a formula. The principles are only have any authenticity if they're principles about a relationship with a person. Just as you received him, so walk in him. And so just as I received, this is, all analogies are bad analogies, but just as I received him from without to within to become a Christian, I receive him from within out to be the Christian I've become, being saved by his life. And this one last verse. All that was the dynamic setup to the little 2-minute sermon. Okay. This great passage of scripture from Romans chapter 7. I've told this story before, but all those years ago, almost 40 years ago, when I got set free, I'd given my life to Christ, but for a couple of years and struggled, trying the best I could. I mean, I tried to train the flesh. And I was got pretty good. I went to Bible college, and so I learned what everybody else learned, all the right things to say, when to stand, when to sit, when to pray, what to sing. We try to improve the flesh and make the flesh religious and spiritual, but in my inner man, when nobody else was watching, I was still living in abysmal failure. And I used to read Romans 7 over and over again. When I read Romans 7, and Paul talked about his experience as a Christian, as he came into his own personal freedom, that he had had a heart transformation. He desired to do the will of God. He agreed with the will of God in his inner man, but there was something happening in his fallen humanity that kept him in bondage to sin. And I would read that scripture, the things that I hate, I find myself doing, the things that I love, I can't do, in terms I want to do in the Lord. And then he'd come to the end of the verse, chapter, and he'd go, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And I would go, yeah, yeah, that's me. And I kept waiting for the answer, okay, the answer. But what I never picked up on, because at the end of this thing, let me just read a couple of verses to you. I find the principle, verse 21, that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. I joyfully concur with the law of God in my inner man, because I have a new heart. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law in my inner man and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that's in my members. Then he'd go, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So that was me. When you become a Christian, you get a new heart. And Paul was saying this was his experience, had been his experience. He had a new heart, but he didn't know how to tap into the new power yet. So if you're born again, you long for righteousness. You want to do God's will. But there's like this struggle. And then we try to learn all the things. We read all the books. We hear all the tapes. We hear all our favorite preachers trying to get some principle, some formula, something to do to get this thing down, memorize it. And Christianity can't be memorized. Relationship can't be memorized. It can only be experienced. And finally, after 2 years of reading that, who shall deliver me from my death? And then you'd go, thanks be to God through Christ the Lord. And I saw that as like, now sounding off in Jesus' name. I thought, what? You brought me right to the place, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then you didn't tell me how. You just said, thanks be to God. I was like, okay, goodbye. Sounding off. And then one day, one night actually, I was reading it again, and the Holy Spirit just opened it up. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he answered the question. And it wasn't a formula, and it wasn't a how-to. It was a who-to. Thanks be to God through Christ our Lord. And for the first time, I saw it. There's a who that delivers me from the power of sin. Not a what, not a thing. And for those of us who are charismatic believers, I've said this before, you can go to all the charismatic conferences in the world. They can tap you on the head. You can bounce across the floor for an hour and a half. But if you don't get this, it's not going to result in any kind of continual victory. I mean, God can do some stuff, bring some healing, get you started, but this is, it's a person. He himself will deliver us, save us from our sins. You started off the Christian life by appropriating a person. You live every day of your Christian life by appropriating a person who lives inside of you, who alone has the ability and the power to conquer fallen self and the power of sin in us. Who shall deliver me? Thanks. That was an affirmation of faith. Thanks be to God through Christ our Lord. It's a person. The whole thing from beginning to end and all of eternity is about being mesmerized and fascinated with and captivated by a person. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.